Well, as I have been in the ministry since 1982 and I've been pastoring for 21 years here, it's always been amazing to me how the Lord interweaves my life with the things that I'm often preaching about or preaching through. My preaching schedule is typically set 4 to 7 months in advance. I take some time off and I get by myself and I just talk to God and say, well, what messages would you like me to bring over the next several months? And I write that down and I find passages of scripture that go with that. And that's kind of how I build my sermon series. So I don't just wake up on Monday morning and go, oh my gosh, I got to preach next week. What should I preach about? That would drive me literally crazy. I got to have a plan to know what to do. And so it's kind of planned out for months in advance. And so when things happen in my life that kind of correspond with what I'm preaching, it's always attributed to the Lord's work and just kind of what He does and how He interacts and engages and intersects with our life. So for 8 weeks now, we've been talking about the names of God and what those names mean and how those names influence us and how we find strength and delivery through the power of those names. Today we talk about Yahweh Rapha. Yahweh Rapha is Hebrew for the God who heals, or our Lord heals, or God my healer. And when I tell you that in the last 8 weeks that I have been preaching through this series, I have been to the neurologist, the gastroenterologist, the cardiologist, the proctologist, the urologist, and a surgeon. I've had a blood draw, a CAT scan, and a COVID test, and tomorrow I'm having surgery to remove a very large kidney stone that I've been dealing with for 6 weeks. And when the physical body begins to break down, and all you feel is hurt and pain and struggle, what you tend to do is think that God has abandoned you. And you tend to be frustrated, and the anxiety level tends to rise up. You're like, ugh, why me? Why now? Why again? And in these physical things where we think that God is not listening or not paying attention, in actuality, these physical things are opportunities for us to step back and go, this is really not my idea of a good time. But if you can use this, and if there's something that can happen in the process and in the course of this that can bring you honor and bring you glory and maybe give me an opportunity to share the gospel or something, would you let that happen? But more importantly, in the midst of all this, would you continue to remind me that you are Yahweh Rapha. You are the God who heals. And not just the God who heals the physical body, because He may not always heal the physical body. But would you remind me that you are the God who heals the soul and the emotion and the spiritual body? There's a great story in Exodus chapter 15, if you want to find it. Exodus is the story of the children of Israel leaving Egypt and making their way out from under slavery rule under Pharaoh's thumb. And in Exodus chapter 15, the story unfolds this way. There have been some major miracles that have happened, and God's people have witnessed them firsthand. They have seen with their eyes and with their physical presence the power of the God with whom they are now leaving Egypt to go and serve. Exodus chapter 15 is the very beginning of that story. And Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea. Now, there was a great miracle at the Red Sea, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. And Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea. Now keep in mind that Moses was following the leadership of God, and God was telling Moses, By day, you're going to follow the cloud that I send you, and by night, you're going to follow the pillar of fire that I send you. And so Moses is leading the people based on the cloud of God and the pillar of fire of God. And so they went out from the wilderness of Shur. Then they went 3 days into the wilderness, and they found no water. How long can the human body live without water? 3 days. There you go. They're being taken right to the brink here. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah, which is bitter water. And the people grumbled against Moses. Now, Moses was following God. What shall we drink? And he, Moses, cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And Moses threw the tree into the water. Some of your translations may say log. Same concept. And when they threw the tree into the water became sweet. And there the Lord made for them a statute and a rule. And there he, the Lord, tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, then I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. I am Yahweh Rapha. And then they came to Elim, and there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. What a great passage of scripture to introduce us to this last name. This last name, Yahweh Rapha. Rapha is one of those really cool Hebrew words that has a lot of different applications and a lot of different meanings. Rapha is a seamstress word. And it means to mend a torn garment. Rapha is also a carpentry word, and it means to repair a broken down building. And Rapha is also a medical word, and it means physician and to cure and to heal. It's a great word. So how do you and I experience healing and mending and repairing and curing from Yahweh Rapha? Each of us, as we relive these names, understand that God has given in his names a plan to defeat sin and evil in the world. And this is what our greatest healing need is. Is it not? Because the world and our lives are broken and full of sin, we need healing. Yes, from disease. But we need healing from heartache and anxiety and emotional distress and loneliness and bitterness. The list goes on. We often find ourselves thirsty. And in our thirst, we wind up being led to bitter water. So how does Yahweh Rapha help? Let me give you three ways this morning. Yahweh Rapha is with us in times of bitter water. When bitter water comes to your life, he is with you. The story that we find in Exodus chapter 15 about the place of Marah. They had just experienced the miracle of the Red Sea. And so the army of Pharaoh is chasing the Jewish people into the wilderness after Pharaoh has finally set them free from captivity. And they wind up at this place by the Red Sea. And it's kind of down into almost the geography and the topography is almost like a giant boat ramp that just kind of leads down into the beach, but there are cliffs on either side. And this is where they find themselves. Water to their backs, cliffs to their sides, and Pharaoh's army coming at them. And in the midst of all of that, Moses says, have you guys not seen enough? Don't you know that God's going to take care of you? In chapter 14, he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he's going to bring you today. For the Egyptians that you see right now, you will see them again no more for the rest of your life. And Moses turns and he talks to God. And God literally splits the sea to the point where the children of Israel can walk through the dry ground of the parted sea. And he blocks Pharaoh's path with that cloud of fire, the pillar of fire that we were talking about. And Pharaoh can't get to him. And as God's people make it to the other side of the Red Sea, the pillar of fire evaporates and Pharaoh's army begins pursuit again. And when they get out in the middle, God withdraws his hands from the sea and the sea collapses and completely destroys and annihilates the Egyptian army. Now they're safe on the other side of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army has been completely destroyed. And in 3 days' time, they're going to wind up at Marah, bitter water. Can you relate? Things in your life seem to be going relatively well. Bam! Bitter water. Why does it have to happen like that? Why can't life just be steady and level and constant all the time? Well, there's several reasons. The first is the devil doesn't want you to be at peace. The devil doesn't want you to have, the devil wants to rock your world. He wants to shake your faith and your family. He wants to ruin your future. And so he will poke and prod at other people or within your family so that chaos can rule and reign. But I think we give the devil more credit than he's really due. Because sometimes the bam moment comes. The bitter water winds up in our life. Just because our own sloth or our own spiritual laziness catches up to us. Maybe our own recklessness catches up to us. But sometimes, and I think maybe more times than not, it's just life. The world's broken. The world's a mess. Have you watched the news at all in the last 20 months? It's crazy. People are crazy. People are mean. I mean, people have always kind of been mean-ish, but good grief. Please don't be one of those. You make Jesus look bad when you're like that. That's Debbie's message to me, and so I'm relating that to you, by the way. Just wanted you to know. The world and the people in the world are flawed, and they're fallen, and they're broken by sin. And the cycle continues and it affects us all. But God is a good God and he is with us in times of bitter water. Genesis chapter 28. I am with you, he says. I will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Later he tells Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you. Read it with me. Wherever you go. Are you having surgery tomorrow? The Lord will be with you wherever you go. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 28. Read it with me. And surely I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Yahweh Rapha is with you, even in the bitter waters. But Yahweh Rapha also sustains you in the bitter waters. There is a sustaining power that gives you what you need to make it while you're in the bitter water. God's children in the story, you're thirsty. Thirst isn't like hunger. You can go days without eating. You can't go days without drinking. And when thirst arises, it doesn't go away. All you want is water. Can you imagine? God has done all of these miracles. They've seen them. Now, 3 days, they're meandering in the desert, and all of a sudden somebody goes, "Hey, look, water. Hallelujah. Yahweh Yireh." What does that mean? Provider. Oh, he's done it again. He has provided. Let's go get some. What? This is nasty. We can't drink this. It'll kill us all. God, what are you doing? It's cruel, man. Why would you bring us out here and then bring us by this puddle of nasty water? Good grief. Obviously, you can't be trusted. I wish I'd never seen this pool of water. You gave it to us, got us all excited, and now you've taken it away. The proverb writer says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. When your heart hungers for that which only God can do, and you and I are waiting, it's like an anchor sometimes around us. Are you waiting on God this morning for a job? Are you waiting on God for a healing? Are you waiting on God for a wayward child? Are you waiting on God for some financial relief? Are you waiting on God for a restored relationship? Are you waiting on God to help you through your time of grief? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that happens to a lot of us. Happens to all of us eventually. And yet, God delays. We pray, and God delays. We seek counsel, and God delays. Bitter waters often come with great disappointment. The prophet Jeremiah said, "My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick within me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?" Rapha. "Why then has the health of my people not been restored?" This is the prophet of God. But his counterpart, Isaiah, reminds him and reminds us all that God is with us. He's always with us. He's always been with us. Jesus himself said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." You read it with me earlier. "Surely I am with you always." Not only is he with you, but is his desire to sustain you in the midst of the bitter water. Why? So that you can give him the glory for his sustaining power. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says. "But they who wait for the Lord." Don't you know that I live in America and I don't wait? Don't you know that I am privileged and spoiled and entitled and I don't wait? Then you can't have what's promised. The Hebrew word "wait" here is the word to bind together by twisting. It is the Old Testament concept of a cord of three strands is not easily broken. When you and I are at bitter water, our reaction and our responsibility is to wait for the Lord, to bind ourselves to the Lord with twisting, to secure ourselves to the Lord in a way that he ain't letting go of me and I ain't letting go of him. It is to dig in. It is to hunker down. It is to permanently attach myself so closely to him that he shall renew my strength. I shall mount up with wings like eagles. I shall run and not be weary. I shall walk and not faint. Why? Because I have chosen to wait and to bind myself to the Lord. And when I bind myself to him, there is strength and soaring and energy and sustaining. But that only comes after the waiting and the twisting and the binding and the depending. We want God, and we want God right now, and we don't want bitter water, and we don't want to wait. We want it to go away as soon as it comes upon us, because that's how we've been conditioned. And when God doesn't respond in that way, then we step back and go, well, God must not be real. God must not love me. God's not everything He's been preached to me all these years. Oh, He's everything that He's been preached. Problem is, you and I just haven't taken our discipleship responsibility serious enough to understand the ways of the Lord. It's our fault, not His. Because He sustains us in bitter water. But Yahweh Rapha also has a plan for the water. He has a plan for the bitter water in our life. Verse 25 of Exodus chapter 15, it says, "And there the Lord tested them." Often on the heels of great victories, there is bitter water. And the bitter waters come with great disappointment. But there is always a test in the bitter water. Every test should have a positive meaning. Trials and tests are not enemies of faith. Trials and tests are opportunities to prove God's faithfulness. You with me? Trials and tests are not enemies of faith, but trials and tests are opportunities to prove God's faithfulness. I preached a sermon several years ago entitled Bitter or Better, and it's something that I borrowed from Rick Warren, and that's kind of his philosophy is, when things come into your life, you have an opportunity to get bitter because of those things or to get better because of those things. Trials and tests are not enemies of the faith. They're opportunities for God to prove Himself. So I'll ask you, like I have had to ask myself for the last 5 or 6 weeks, am I going to trust God to do something great now that I physically am swimming in bitter waters? Or am I going to absorb the bitterness and let that be what rules the day? Am I going to allow this test to improve my dependence on God? Am I going to allow what I'm going through to make me a better disciple and a better witness, or is it going to make me a grumpier old man? I'm completely in charge of this decision, by the way. And you're completely in charge of yours. Peter chose the better way. 1 Peter chapter 4, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering. So these are something strange. Some strange things are happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." This isn't about me or you or your bitter water or your physical or emotional or spiritual trial or trauma. This is about the glory of Christ that is designed to come out of whatever our trauma or trial is. God is going to allow these things to come into our life. And His goal is to produce awesome things from these. Let me give you the final point. Yahweh Rapha not only is with you in bitter water and sustains you in bitter water, but He rescues you from the bitter waters. He is the healer. Yahweh Rapha, God heals. Yahweh heals. Just like I have to do what the doctor tells me to do when I'm not feeling well, you have to do what Rapha tells you to do when you're not feeling well, spiritually or emotionally. What has to happen for you and I to receive healing from Yahweh Rapha? Well, let's go back to the story. Here they are at bitter water. Verse 26, "And He said, 'If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all He decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals you? Physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing, psychological healing. Healing comes when I listen to His voice. Healing comes when I do what is right in His eyes. Healing comes when I pay attention to His commands. And pay attention doesn't just mean, oh, I know what those are. Pay attention means I act them out. And healing comes when I keep His decrees. This is how He rescues you and me from bitter waters. Again, the prophet Isaiah said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, your Savior. It's interesting in this story that when they came to bitter waters, it says, and the Lord showed Moses a tree. And Moses took the tree, and he threw the tree in the water, and the water became sweet. There's another tree that makes the bitterness in your life and my life sweet. And this is an Old Testament metaphor for the tree of the cross of Calvary, the log of lumber on which Christ, our Savior, was crucified. Again, Peter says that Christ Himself bore our sin in His body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed. Jeremiah says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? Is there no Rapha? The African-American hymn writer Washington Glass said, yes, there is a balm in Gilead. To make the wounded whole, there is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. He is the Christ, and on the tree He died. There is a balm in Gilead. The Lord is on your side. If you're facing bitter waters in your life, what do? You do what Moses did. You believe in the tree that God provided. Not so much in the tree, but the Christ who died on the tree. For by His stripes we are healed. And it is through Him that all things work together for good. If you will choose to love the Lord and choose to be called according to His purpose. Yahweh Rapha, He heals. He is with you in bitter water. He sustains you in bitter water. He rescues you from bitter water. If you have a need this morning that is physical or spiritual or soul, if it is emotional, during this time of invitation, I'm going to invite you to come. I'll be standing right down here. You can talk to me, and we'll set up a time in the coming days to begin the process of talking about being healed. Whatever your need is. However Yahweh Rapha needs to interact with you. Something else is going to happen during our time of invitation. The children are going to come. The children pre-K through sixth grade are going to participate in the next few Sundays of our service because we're going to talk about being thankful. And there are some packets down here on gratitude and thankfulness that they're going to come by and pick up. Their names are on them. So children, when we start singing, you come find the packet with your name on it. One of the greatest things you can do when you need healing is sit on the bench of gratitude and be thankful. Because as bitter as some of the water is in our life, there is always blessing. There is always refreshing. There is always goodness from God. And so during the time of invitation, as the children are coming and picking up their packets, come talk to me if you want to start a conversation about connecting at a deeper level with Yahweh, Rapha. Lord Jesus, move among your people during this time. Help us seek you to find soul healing in your great name. Amen.